As we just discussed, the First Amendment allows for free speech and the exclusion of government from creating any blockade from the practice of that right. Unfortunately, there are individuals who believe that they can be that blockade against people and ideas that they disagree with. As we saw this past week with the planned appearance by Ann Coulter at the campus of UC Berkeley, this is an issue that my next guest has spoken out strongly against, saying that the exclusion of opposing views in debate fails to prepare students for what we like to refer to as the real world. He wrote about this for the Christian Post this past week, along with being the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. He is the author of the upcoming book. It'll be released in August, I believe, Not a Daycare, Why a Coddled Nation is a Crippled Nation, Dr. Everett Piper. Thanks for being here today, Doctor.
Oh, again, I'm honored. Thank you for having me.
And the website for Oklahoma Wesleyan University is okwu.edu. So when you saw this unfold over the, I guess it was about a weekend change of back and forth, on and off, and police necessary and with guns drawn because of the extent of the violent threats that were being made, what were your reactions to all that playing out at UC Berkeley?
Well, first of all, the chickens are coming home to roost. We've been teaching lousy ideas for decades at UC Berkeley and other institutions of higher learning across the land, and we're reaping lousy behavior as the result of those terrible ideas. When you continue to teach self-absorption and narcissism and safe spaces and microaggressions and trigger warnings, when you continue to teach victimization, you're not going to get virtuous behavior. You're going to get vengeance and vice. You're going to get violence. And that's what we see playing itself out on our campuses right now. Bad ideas will breed bad behavior as surely as an acorn will grow an oak tree or a hurricane brings a flood. When we teach terrible ideas, you're going to see tyranny. You're not going to see tolerance. And this all happens under the ruse of the banner of tolerance. While they scream with angry red faces, "I can't tolerate your intolerance. I hate you hateful people. I'm sure that nothing is sure. And I'm absolutely confident there are no absolutes." They do so with a straight face, but yet an angry red face, because they refuse to hear an opposing idea because it makes them feel uncomfortable. It's the antithesis of what the liberal arts academy is supposed to be. It's ideological fascism. It is not academic freedom.
And yet those are the liberals who call the Donald Trumps and conservatives the Nazis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But stop and think exactly what they're doing. They're employing the very tactics. And I know this is, some will say, don't use the Nazis and the Hitler analogy when referring to modern day events. I'm not suggesting necessarily that these people believe in Adolf Hitler's values or agenda. What I am suggesting, if you learn the lessons of history, that despots, whether it's Hitler or Mussolini or Pol Pot or Robespierre or Chavez or Castro or Stalin, despots always employ the very tactics that these kids and these faculty are using right now. They employ intimidation. They say, you must agree, you must submit, you must be one of us, and if you don't, we will silence you, we will intimidate you, we will fire you, we will expel you. That is not liberalism. That's not classical liberty or liberation or freedom. That is fascist. That is basically saying you must be part of the fascist, the bundle that's bound together so tightly that it can't be broken. If you're not part of the fascist, then you are unwelcome. That is fascism, and that's what they're employing.
Now, we've certainly, over the past decade or so, grown, unfortunately, accustomed to seeing those object to the presentation of issues related to politics and religion. And that makes me think, too, about, I think it was after the Sandy Hook gun attack, and a liberal posed the question, well, where was your God when all this happened? And the response by a person was, you chased him out of the school. But that's another debate probably for another time. But we've seen the sensitivities branch out now into almost the mundane that you, as a school administrator, school president, how many minds can possibly be on one minefield for an education system right now?
Well, and to your point about this liberal response that where is your God right now? And then the conservative response, the Christian response was, well, you expelled him from the classroom. You know, G.K. Chesterton once said, when you get rid of the big laws of God, you don't get liberty, but rather thousands of little laws that rush in to fill the vacuum. And isn't that so true right now? We can't live as a culture with 10 simple laws that God has given us. Therefore, and by the way, Jesus boiled it down to two. So So we can't live with those simple, clear laws of justice and freedom and liberty and liberation and human responsibility and human dignity. We can't live with those 10 simple laws or the two. Therefore, we create reams, volumes of little laws on how we must submit, we must control, you must comply, or you're unwelcome, down to the point where they're telling us how to use the bathroom. That's where we are as a culture right now. Again, it's the antithesis of what classical liberalism was supposed to stand for. The Liberal Arts Academy was established some 1,000 years ago to educate a free man and a free woman, to educate a culture in liberty. That's what classical liberalism was supposed to be. Thus the title of my first book, Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas. It's the conservative today who wants to conserve the time-tested truths that give us the boundaries, the freedom of human liberty. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's why in my recent article that was just published a couple days ago, I argue that free speech was not born at Berkeley. No, no, no. That's being proven before our eyes right now. Free speech was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. In the words of Christ, you shall know the truth shall set you free.
Dr. Everett Viper, who is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, his next book coming out in August, Not a Daycare, Why a Coddled Nation is a Crippled Nation. OKWU.edu is Oklahoma Wesleyan University's website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I guess people would ask the question, what does this foretell of our tomorrow with the students that we have and their sensitivities today? And I think I unfortunately have some insight into this. I'm cautious here. I don't want to reveal because something was told to me in confidence, but I know someone who was an assistant manager at a store of a large company. They have a problem with someone who doesn't want to work. They're to the point now where you can't reprimand them because it'll bother their sensitivity so much that they'll try to apply for disability or bring some sort of legal charges against the company that runs the store. Is that the way we're headed now with the level of sensitivities that we're seeing with our student bodies these days?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And why wouldn't we be? A logic tells you we're going to end there. Again, ideas always have consequences. You can always tell where they're going to lead. And a bad idea, a selfish idea, a narcissistic idea, a self-absorbed idea is always going to lead to corresponding behaviors. We've embraced a safe space culture. We've embraced a culture about me. We've embraced a culture that says it doesn't matter what you believe as long as it works for you. We've embraced all of these bad ideas. You can't keep those ideas out of the courtroom or out of the culture or out of the boardroom or out of the company or out of the employer's office. Those ideas will start to raise their ugly head there, and you're going to see that. People are going to say, today I feel like a woman, therefore I want women's rights today. Tomorrow I may be a man, but you'll have to honor that tomorrow. But today I want to use the woman's restroom and I want to avail myself of all women's rights. What this does is it makes the fact of biology irrelevant. It makes the objective facts of human existence silly and meaningless because fabrication and fantasy rules the day. Make believe and pretend will rule the day. And if you don't comply with my make believe world, how I feel today, and if you don't give me a participation trophy for it, I'll sue you. Because now you're a bigot. You're an offender. You haven't made me feel safe. You haven't affirmed me. These are the ideas that will prevail, not just in the campus green, but in the corporate boardroom. And that's what you're referring to right now in the story of your friend.
Yep. How much do you think what we saw, and I think I've seen this already start to play now, what we saw at UC Berkeley, because it did bring an end, and I'm ashamed of Young Americans Foundation for backing away from the cult of appearance, even if it was going to be a no-show or a no-endeavor, but they basically cut ties with the situation. And, you know, shame on them for not standing to the very end, as bitter as it might have been for them. But the show of violence, the threat of violence that brought about the cancellation, it's already starting to branch out. There was a parade in Portland, Oregon, 82nd year, Avenue of Roses parade, and they had a threat of violence. Why? A local conservative Republican group was invited to be among the marchers who were going to be in the parade. And what was the result? They had to cancel the parade.
Yeah.
So is this going to be the tactic now that, okay, we know we can shout them now, shout them down, and be protected from them, but is this a way now, hey, maybe we can just eliminate the threat of them even showing or trying to show up?
Intimidation and threat and manipulation rather than an honest, open, robust exchange of ideas, a disagreement that's judged by truth rather than power or politics. That's where our culture is headed right now. By the way, sidebar, I received a press release from the Young Americans Foundation where they're denying that they retracted the invitation. They're actually saying they're suing Berkeley for their behavior and that Ann Coulter's description of them retracting or rescinding their invitation is inaccurate. So I think there's more to the story there.
Yeah, that's... But,
anyway, that's probably a different show, a different time. But your point is an excellent point in terms of... Stop and think about it as a parent. When your kids started showing the terrible twos, you had a decision to make. Are you going to confront the kid when he is starting to act out in his terrible twos, or will you coddle him and comfort him? And you've seen the young parent in the grocery store who doesn't handle it properly. The kid's throwing a temper tantrum. He's on the floor. He's kicking. He's screaming because he wants a piece of candy or he wants a cheap $1 toy. If you capitulate to that behavior, you end up with a brat, a spoiled child, who will manipulate you the rest of your life. If you confront it because you care and you love enough to discipline rather than enable, then you end up with a mature human being that is responsible and understands what it means to act with Christian charity and love rather than selfishness.
And it's those brats who grow up, and when they don't get their french fries at the McDonald's drive-thru, drive their car through the front window.
There you go. Or you go to college and you demand that everybody agree with you, and if they don't, they're a bigot. It's not freedom. Freedom was born in Bethlehem. Freedom was not born in Berkeley. It's the paradox of discipline and freedom. When you get rid of big laws, you don't get liberty. You get thousands of little laws. Without offense, there is no freedom. Without law, there is no liberty. We've abandoned the objective standards of truth, and we've got tyranny. We don't have freedom.
And this is what Dr. Piper writes about in his column in the Christian Post. We have a link to it at our website. It's entitled Bethlehem, Not Berkeley, is the birthplace of free speech. And look for his next book coming out this summer, Not a Daycare, Why a Coddled Nation is a Crippled Nation. He is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. On the web, it's okwu.edu. Parents, if you're looking for a college or university to send your son or daughter to, that's one of the places you must check out, given what they offer and provide. Dr. Everett Piper, thanks so much for being here today.
Oh, bless. Thank you so much.